Good evening, everybody. So yesterday we discussed the halachos of kavod sefer Torah and when one has an obligation to stand in the presence of a sefer Torah. Must I stand in the middle of kriyas haTorah? Do I have to stand when the Aron Kodesh is open, when the sefer Torah is stationary, when the sefer Torah is in motion? All of that was spoken about yesterday in our shiur. And now we come to the very timely issue that I think about and many should think about every year on Simchas Torah, and that is the question that is raised by the Aruch HaShulchan. I find it surprising that the Aruch HaShulchan, who lived not too long ago in the last 100 years, is the first to raise this issue, when in fact it was really something that probably came up for many, many generations prior to the Aruch HaShulchan, unless we are mistaken. And the question is a very obvious one. Yesterday we mentioned the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, that one is not allowed to be in a sitting position when the Sefer Torah is in motion, which leads us to the following problem. On Simchas Torah, asked the Aruch HaShulchan, I don't understand how it could be that while the Sifrei Torah are in motion, while people are walking around with the hakafos, while people are dancing with the Sifrei Torah, how could it be that there are members in every shul who you find on the sidelines sitting down when it is not their turn for the hakafa? Isn't that a blatant violation of the halacha, which states that when a Sifrei Torah is in motion, one has to be in an upright and a standing position? So this is the question of the Aruch HaShulchan, and I'll read his words. V'nira la'anias daiti, it seems to me, deba'es shevesavivim es ha-sefer Torah, saviv ha-bima, when we carry the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah, around the bima, mechuyavim lamod, we have an obligation to stand. Dezehu kemosha ha-sefer Torah overes, because that is considered the same as the halacha stated in Shulchan Aruch that we spoke about yesterday. Whenever a Sefer Torah is in motion, one has to be in an upright position. Aval, he says, bein sivuv lesivuv, when they're in between hakafos and they're just holding the Sefer Torah in place, and then the Sefer Torah is stationary, then obviously, he writes, one would not have an obligation to stand. Ein tzarech lamod. Why? Because then that's the same as the Sefer Torah being in the Aron Kodesh, or the Sefer Torah being on top of the bima, on top of the shulchan, where we mentioned yesterday that one would not have an obligation to be in an upright position at that point. And therefore, he says, that is the only time that one is able to sit. However, while the Sefer Torah are in motion, one is not able to do that. Which is a very nice halacha that is mentioned by the Aruch HaShulchan. The problem is, we know, and we see it every year, that many people sit even while the Sefer Torah are in motion, even while the hakafas are going around, and the Sefer Torah is not in a stationary position. And the question becomes, how are we allowed to do so? How do we justify that practice? So in the Sefer Shalmei Moed, they quote in the name of the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish, when he was an older man and was unable to stand for the entirety of the hakafos, the Chazon Ish was faced with this issue. And the way the Chazon Ish decided to get around the problem was, when he felt the need to sit, he held the Sefer Torah in his hands. So he said, obviously, I would not be allowed to sit on my own in the presence of a Sefer Torah that is in motion. However, if I myself am holding a Sefer Torah, so then maybe that would be a way to get around the problem, because it's as if I myself become a part of what the Sefer Torah embodies. So therefore, even though there are other Sefer Torah moving around, there's one Sefer Torah on his lap that was not considered to be a problem. And in the Sefer Orchas Rabbeinu, they quote the same from the stipler, that is what he did when he became older and was unable to stand up. So he used to hold a Sefer Torah in place, and that is the way that he justified his sitting down as the other Sifrei Torah in the shul were in motion during the hakafos. There's a story about the Chazon Ish that one Simchas Torah, he was standing, he was sitting on the sidelines with the Sefer Torah in his lap and his arms, and a Talmud Chacham saw him sitting there. So he came over and took a chair and sat down next to him to speak with the Chazon Ish and learning. He may as well take advantage of the opportunity to be the presence of the Chazon Ish. Nothing really going on. There's hakafas going on in the shul, but the Chazon Ish was in a corner by himself with his Sefer Torah. So he sat down next to the Chazon Ish and he started to talk and learning with him. And after this, Talmud Chacham walked away, the Chazon Ish said, This man didn't understand. The only reason why I'm allowed to sit down during the Hakafos is because I was holding a Sefer Torah in my lap, in my arms. However, this Talmud Chacham, although he wanted to come speak with me in learning, he had no justification to sit down. So what right did he have to come and talk to me in learning while he was sitting, if in fact there were Sefer Torah in motion in the entirety of the shul? So that is the Eitzah of the Chazon Ish, that is the Eitzah of the Stipler. But the problem with that is, it's not so realistic for everybody. Because we have many members of the shul, and we have Sifrei Torah, and when somebody gets tired out and needs to sit down and take a break, not always is there a Sefer Torah that's available to put in their lap, not always is there a Sefer Torah that we can give them to hold on to while they need to take that break and sit down. So is there any other justification we can come up with that would allow a person who's tired out in the middle of the Hakafos to sit down as the Sifrei Torah are still in motion? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach came up with something that was brilliant. And what I find amazing about this suggestion is that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach takes us to a obscure halacha in Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Erevin that pertains to the laws that are very specific to Erevin, to the laws of Mechitza, and he translates that halacha into our situation here on Simchas Torah, and he explains how there can be a way out of the issue. In order to fully appreciate this genius of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and how it is that he applied the halacha, we first have to understand and explore briefly a set of halachos and hilchos erevin that, quite frankly, we probably would not have otherwise studied together. So let's try to understand where Rav Shlomo Zalman is coming from. In Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Erevin, Simen Shin, Samach Beis. The Shulchan Aruch writes a number of halachos, and I'm really just going through it briefly, just to capture the highlights and give us an appreciation for the suggestion of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach how to get around this problem. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, says the Shulchan Aruch, when we have somebody who wants to carry on Shabbos, so we know the Gemara tells us in Maseches Shabbos that there's an Issa D'Oraisa of Hotzah. You're not allowed to carry on Shabbos. Now, what does that mean? I'm not allowed to carry in my house? Of course I'm allowed to carry in my house. Why? Because in a Rishus HaYachid, in a private domain, one is allowed to carry. The only problem is when one is in a Rishus HaRabim. One is not allowed to carry an item Dalet Amos in a Rishus HaRabim. If I'm in a public domain and I find something on the street on Shabbos or whatever it is, I have to carry something, I'm not allowed to do so. That is a Malacha of Hotzah. A second problem would be if I would carry something from my private domain, from my house, and throw it into the Rishus HaRabim, throw it into the street. A third scenario would be if I have two houses that are adjacent to one another, and I take something from my private home, and I throw it into someone else's private home, from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid. So all of those would be under the category of Meleches Hotza'a B'Shabbos. How do I get around the problem of Hotza'a? I'm sure many of us have been to communities where we see people wheeling strollers, where we see people carrying all kinds of items on Shabbos. How would they be allowed to do so? Isn't there a malacha of Hotzah? How can somebody carry outside in the Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos? The answer is, we're all familiar with the institution of an Erev. An Erev means that I put up some kind of imaginary wall around the city, and thereby I am going to circumvent the issue of carrying in a Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because now it's as if I'm carrying in a walled space. Because it's as if there's a mechitza that was placed around the whole enclosure. And therefore it's as if I'm carrying in a private domain. That's what an Erev is able to do. Now, sometimes the problem is that we look around and we don't even notice the string. We're not so familiar with the fact that this is an enclosure because we don't even see the strings. And that is a little bit of an issue. If I'm in a house, I understand that I'm enclosed by the walls. But the Erev is supposed to serve as an imaginary mechitza. The point really is that we need to have a mechitza surrounding ourselves. And the Erev, based on very technical issues in halacha, the Erev is able to create a situation where it's as if I'm enclosed by mechitza. Now, what happens if a person does not have the requisite items in order to create an Erev, and it's Erev Shabbos, and I know that I'm going to need to use the public domain to carry something, what do? I don't have string, I don't have poles, I don't have wires, what do? So the Shulchan Aruch talks about a case where one takes a bunch of sticks and puts them together, and you enclose an area even without a string. So in such a case, the Shulchan Aruch says, you don't need that all of these sticks need to be adjacent to one another. They don't have to actually be touching. even if there's space in between one stick and the other, and you enclose a defined area, and now it has sticks all around it, that would be sufficient, as long as you don't have three tvachim of open space in between one stick and the next. So that would be good, and that would be acceptable, and that would be able to create the imaginary mechitza. What if I don't even have sticks? What do I do then? Is there any other answer? So the Shulchan Aruch says, an unusual case, writes the Shulchan Aruch, I'm able to take a Baal Chai. What does that mean? A Baal Chai means I'm able to theoretically take an animal and use it as a mechitza. Meaning, if I put animals around an enclosed area, around an open area, and now it becomes an enclosure because there are animals all around it, and I want to carry inside of that enclosure, it would not be a problem for me because that would be the creation of a mechitza. Now I would be as if I am enclosed by all of these animals, as if that created a wall around me, and I can now carry in that space. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you want to use an animal, the animal has to be tied up. Why? Tie up an animal. Tzar b'lechayim, you can't tie up an animal, you can't do that. Well, two reasons, says the Mishnah Berurah again, theoretically. I don't know if anyone would ever do such a thing. We don't usually have these kinds of problems, and we don't usually have this many animals that we'd be able to enclose ourselves with. So maybe it's just the theoretical possibility for us, but the Mishnah Berurah explains why it is that the Gemara requires that if you're going to use an animal as a mechitza, you have to make sure that you tie down the animal. Why is that? Number one, he says, most obviously, because an animal has free will. The animal can run away. So then there goes your mechitza. What if you're in the middle of carrying, and all of a sudden, two of your animals are going to run off? Then you're not going to have a mechitza anymore. If you tie them up, and now they're going to be stationary in one place, that is going to be a way to get around the problem of the animal running away potentially. And number two, he says, if you tie up an animal and you lay it down on the ground, then it could really serve as a mechitza. But if you have an animal that stands up, and you have the open space in between the animal's legs, that is potentially going to be a big problem, because how can you have a mechitza that is so raised off of the ground? The mechitza has to be contiguous to the ground, and therefore we assume that if you're using an animal, that's the only way to do so. Okay, now again, for most of us, that's not a realistic possibility. Even if we'd be stuck somewhere without an Eruv, I would imagine that to get a bunch of animals together, a bunch of elephants or cows or donkeys or horses to stand up or to be tied down to the ground for a whole Shabbos or for a whole time that I need to carry somewhere is somewhat unrealistic. Is there any other thing that I can do? Says the Shulchan Aruch, yes. What can I do? If I have a whole group of people, if I have a whole group of people who are standing around in a circle, and now they're going to enclose a circle as labdafka, if they're standing around an area, and I am within that space, and all of those people are within three tvachim to one another. Again, they don't have to be shoulder to shoulder, but they have to be within three tvachim to each other. And all those people are going to be standing all around, that the entire space is going to be enclosed by those people. That is now considered to be a mechitza. Aye, what about if the people are walking? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, that's not a problem, because as long as they are going to be standing all around, and now there's a space in the middle that is enclosed by those human beings, that is considered to be a mechitza. Now, the Shulchan Aruch writes, it would only work if the people aren't aware that they're the mechitza, whatever, all kinds of details, which again, are not so relevant to our shiur right now. But what you see from the Shulchan Aruch is, and it's quoting Gemara Maseches Erevin, what you see from the Shulchan Aruch is that theoretically, if one needed to carry something on Shabbos, they would be able to have the allowance to do so in a Rishus HaRabim if they had an enclosure that was made up of human beings standing within three tvachim of one another. That would create a mechitza. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and it's so brilliant how he takes such an obscure halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Erevin, and he applies it here to save the all the people who want to sit down in the middle of Hakafos while the Sifrei Torah are in motion. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, normally when you have Hakafos, what's the situation? You have Sifrei Torah that are all in the middle of the shul, and then you have circles of people that are all going around and around the shul, but with the Sifrei Torah in between them. And therefore he says, you're going to sit down somewhere on a chair on the side, but between you and the Sifrei Torah, there is a mechitza. There is a group of people who are all standing around in a circle or dancing around in a circle, and all of those people are going to now create an enclosure for the Sefer Torah. And now it's as if, imaginary, it's as if the Sefer Torah is in its own space. The same way, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, that on Shabbos, I'd be able to create a machitza by using people to stand around a given area. So too, he says, people would be able to serve as a machitza to stop the Sifrei Torah from being considered in the same room as I am, and therefore I'd be able to now sit as long as people are surrounding the Sifrei Torah. I think it's a brilliant suggestion. I think it's a brilliant application from the laws of Shabbos to the laws of Kedusha Sefer Torah and Kavod Sefer Torah. And that's why we have great Gedolim like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach to come up with such things. Again, I'm not sure it's foolproof, because not always is that the situation. You're always going to have one outlier. You're always going to have one person who decides he has to dance with the Sefer Torah outside of the circle all by himself, and he's not going to follow along with what everybody's doing. There's always that nonconformist who decides, I need to do it my own way, I need to step out, and I need to show everybody how much I can dance with the Sefer Torah and how different I can be. Again, so that kills the whole idea that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggests here. But if you have a shul, I remember I grew up in Breuers, where everything was so meticulous, even on Simchas Torah, when in some shuls they lower the guard a little bit, and people act a little bit more casually than they otherwise may in a shul. I'm not sure if it's right or wrong, but that's what you find in many communities. There in Breuers, on Simchas Torah also, everything was mesuder, everything was organized, nobody went out of line, everyone was exactly where they were supposed to be. So if you have a situation like that, then says Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you have a group of people who are surrounding the Sifrei Torah, that would serve as a mechitza between the Sefer Torah and those who want to sit down. Again, these are some of the suggestions, but what's quite clear from the Achronim is that if one has the ability to stand up for the entirety of the hakafas while the Sifrei Torah are in motion, while the Sifrei Torah are being walked around the shul or danced around the shul, me'ikar hadin, we really have an obligation to stand, because that is the overarching principle of kavod Sefer Torah that is demanded of us anytime a Sefer Torah is in motion. And Simchas Torah would really be no different. You know, my father makes a comment every year how it bothers him that Simchas Torah is the one day of the year, or one of 2 days a year, Simchas Torah and Shavuos. Simchas Torah is a day where we celebrate Kabbalah Satorah, where we celebrate our gift of Torah, we celebrate our commitment to the Torah. And he said, it's so ironic how on Simchas Torah, there are people who violate Averus that they otherwise would never do throughout the year. And one of the examples he gives is, people sit in the presence of a Sefer Torah. The Rambam says, Beferish, you're not allowed to do so. The Mechaber says, you're not allowed to do so. People eat without making Kiddush on Simchas Torah. People sometimes get drunk in the middle of davening, and then they daven Musaf while they're intoxicated. Or, worse off, people don't daven Musaf at all. Or people eat food without benching, or they eat without making Kiddush, and all kinds of things that they would never do on a regular Shabbos or Yom Tov. And suddenly it comes to the day of Simchas HaTorah, and we violate so many things that we otherwise wouldn't do. Obviously, none of that is done intentionally. People are excited, hopefully, about the fact that they're celebrating the Torah, but we have to be vigilant, we have to be careful that when doing so, we do it all within the context of the laws of the Torah. We do it all within the purview of what the halacha demands of us and what the halacha expects of us as we are celebrating this great day of Yom Simchas HaTorah.